This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Save, he scores, and the Yankees are headed to the playoffs.
You know, we'd love to play at home, you know, especially that wild card game, but, you know, we were excited anywhere we went. Getting a chance to go to Boston and play it, it's going to be, you know, an exciting matchup for sure. That's going to be a fun game right there.
Oh, will we reminisce over this wild card?
This reminds me of New York Undercover music. This was they played New York Undercover, one of the first good series before The Wire, before
it's a good show.
Power. Mm-hmm. It was New York Undercover. It had the blend of hip hop, drugs, and like
P-Rock, CL Smooth. They reminisce. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Let's reminisce with Jay Will. Jay Weezy.
What it do, baby?
What's happening, man?
You know, same pan, same grease.
Are you a Yankees fan, like diehard, or are you like, well, it's New York, I'm going to watch it because I hate Boston?
I think I've become, this is crazy, I think as a kid, I grew up in the Northeast, and my dad used to always talk about the Yankees, but I found myself, man, throughout more time, gravitating more towards the Mets, bro. Don't judge me.
I asked, because Jay, he had a first pitch appearance at Citi Field this year, and then was spotted, I'm told, in the owner's box with Steve Cohen during the game.
Big moves happening. Jay's a businessman. He ain't a businessman. He's a businessman.
Yeah.
Tell him, Bart. And then we got rid of Luis Rojas, you know, the other day. We'll figure out who our manager is going to be. We can keep that internal. Yeah, but Marcus Stroman is my boy, Duke alumni. You know what I mean, Bart? Like,
who's your favorite? There. Who's your favorite? My favorite is Dom Smith, man. I love me some Dom Smith. Who's your favorite?
Stroh. That's his guy.
Stroh is definitely one of my, but you know, it's crazy. This whole, and Alan, you were with us during this whole Jacob DeGrom thing. Mm. Like when we were saying like who can get a table in New York, the fact that he won that little kind of, consensus we did at our show when you were with us about, you know, who would be the most big celebrity guy that can get a table anywhere they go in their city. You don't have to ask any questions. Like I found myself meeting him a couple of times and be like, I rock with you, bro. Like I like what they stand for, and it's a little bit more of a blue-collar approach. I still like the Yankees. I'm not going to tell you I don't, but the Mets has got some place in my heart, man.
That's I asked it because it's knowing that you had that Met background, at least that's what I saw recently, but I wondered because we had callers say that, you know, people in New York and people in Boston sound the same, which you and I both know that it's not even close to be. Yeah, I know. It's not even close to being
true. That person's
true.
not from Jersey, New York, or Boston.
They were not. No, and Bart, who's from Michigan, said, anybody in the Midwest, it all sounds the same, which I'm offended.
No.
Yeah, Bart, exactly.
It's just hard. It's just like,
Bart,
it's just like.
Bart, have you ever kicked it in Boston?
No.
Have you kicked it?
No.
All right. You got to kick it in Boston and meet like local. And Boston's a dope place to go hang out. Like the accent is drastically different.
You got to start first at Sully's Bar. We start there.
Yeah, and put it in the car. Put it in the car. Put it in the bar. Take it to the bar. Put her in the car.
I get all my Boston stuff from Dave Gettleman. Like that's my reference. I gotta get it from.
There's no need to throw jabs in my team. Like you don't have to do that. Okay, we already know that Jason Garrett, Joe Judge, everybody's on the hot seat. We got a good win against the Saints. Just let us have one moment, Bart. Just one. Okay?
I'm on the train. I'm buying the trees. You know what I mean? I definitely believe Danny Dimes. Like I said before, I think that he's Josh Allen. I think he's right there. You know what I mean? Finally, Galladay shows up after being ridiculed and criticized for not being bringing any big plays.
Bart, I love you. Did you just say Danny Dimes and Josh Allen?
He did.
Back to back in the same sentence. You're talking about the guy that finished second in MVP voting.
Yeah,
you're talking about a team like that just shut out Miami 35-0. Houston 45-0. So you're talking about that Josh Allen, right?
Yeah. So Jay, if you look at their numbers, like their numbers, their second year, they're almost identical. They're the same height. Josh Allen has maybe a little stronger arm, a bit of a stronger arm, but Danny Dimes is faster. He's just as athletic. You think about what his rushing yards are. Like, I mean, you're doing RPOs with Danny Dimes. He's pulling away from defensive backs. It's Danny Dimes that had 21 miles an hour, not Lamar Jackson. So, like, when you think about
it. What did the numbers say via turnovers, Bart?
Listen, Josh Allen was a turnover machine, too, before he got Stephon Diggs, right? He was fumbling all the time, running, and that's why he stopped running, throwing from the pocket because he didn't have to. So listen, I'm not as far off as you think, man. They're both 6'5". They're both, you know, yeah. I think Josh Allen's a little bit stronger, and Junior Wapperhand's hands are smaller. But you know, listen, he's one of the most accurate deep throwers of the football. You think about Danny Dimes. Danny Dimes has got 1,100 yards passing this year. And that's only going to go up as Saquon Barkley continues to get healthy and be able to be a bigger factor in the passing game. I'm telling you, you got a good one. You got you a good one, man, and I think he can be special.
Okay. I'm not saying Danny Dimes is Josh Allen, even though your argument is slightly starting to make me think about it to a degree. I think it's also about what kind of offensive packages are we seeing Danny Dimes in. And I think for the last couple of games, seeing how Jason Garrett has changed up the offensive scheme, actually give him credit for, because, you know, it used to be too archaic before, man. Like, it was like everybody knew what was coming.
No shifts, no motions, things like that, that gives you the telltale.
Thank you. Thank you, Bart. You
know, a quarterback needs to know the pre-snap information.
So if we're talking about Brian Daboll and company utilizing Josh Allen and activating him, then that's what I need Jason Garrett to do for Danny Dimes.
Right.
And I think we're just recently have started to see that. You know what I mean?
And that's the discrepancy, right? The discrepancy is that Josh Allen has had the same coach and they've been able to develop a program. This is Danny Dimes' second offensive coordinator, right? So he's trying to learn something all over again. So he hasn't mastered it quite like Josh Allen is, and he's still able to put up good numbers. And he's going to listen. He has one of the better quarterback ratings in the league right now. He only had one turnover. So he's fixing turning the ball over as long as that offensive line can protect him from the blind side. So listen, they pay me.
And that turnover was a Hail Mary, too, before the half.
Yeah,
so I hear you on that last
right. So they pay me to see the future, right? Just like in basketball, like you can look at a prospect like, no, this dude can ball. Right? They pay me to see it early. You know what I'm saying? You can catch up later, Jay Weezy, and you're welcome because it's good news for you in the future.
He's been saying this, Jay.
It's all right, baby.
He's been saying this about Daniel. He's been saying this about Daniel Jones from the start of the season. So it's not like he's just suddenly jumping on this thing. Like he – and each week, and you know, you can say their record's not great, but he hasn't been their problem. He, in fact, is continuing to trend up, and I argue that he might be their best player, the most important player right now this season, not Saquon, although it was good to see Saquon Barkley show up in this game and now become the weapon that you think he can be. It's Bart and Hom. We're talking with Jay Williams from KJM in the morning, of course. And, you know, this Urban Meyer story is one that's interesting. It's the, you know, the college coach going to the pro level. It doesn't always work, although Matt Rhule is telling you, yes, it can. You know, the way he's handling things in Carolina, the way that franchise looks like it's heading in the right direction. But with all these things that are going on with him off the field, away from the game, never mind they're 0-4. Like, that's not even part of the discussion because we expected they weren't going to be good. It's just some of the decision-making and a little bit of the arrogance, of course, as well. And then, of course, the incident over the weekend that, you know, does not put him in a good light. It makes the owner now have to put out a statement. I mean, we've been saying this all along. Does he survive this season? Is he long for this job?
I think the only way he doesn't is if he decides. Obviously, if he doesn't have any more flare-ups, but if he decides that he doesn't want to do it anymore. Because, look, Chris Doyle was a bad scenario. Mm-hmm. I understand that. Chris Doyle got fired, right? The training coach that had some racist remarks in the past. Got fired, right? They had a buyout. The Tim Tebow thing to me, and Al, you and I were together doing this whole thing, it felt more like a marketing ploy.
Yeah.
It felt more like it was
a favor. That was a
favor.
That was
about the Jaguars. We haven't talked about the Jags at all.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about Tim Tebow. It was a polarizing subject matter. He got cut. He didn't make the team. As much as people wanted to throw hoopla about him being, you know, seen as a potential tight end. And then obviously this one is problematic. It is the hypocrisy for him to tell Trevor Lawrence to be careful before he goes away on his bachelor party, but yet he doesn't fly back with the team. Look, I've been around some of the greatest coaches. Bart, you have too. Alan, I know you have too. Like, those guys are always on the plane with the team after the game. They're breaking down film. They're asking you to come into the locker room the next day to study. I don't even care if it was they had a longer prep time for their next game, consider they played on Thursday night. That's stuff that Urban Meyer should do. But you're not going to find me get into this whole thing where I'm going to call for Urban Meyer's job because he's not handling his stuff inside his household correctly. Like, look, I understand it doesn't set the right example. We have a lot of people in places of very high significance that don't set the right example every single day. And they're not clipped from their positions of leadership. I don't have to give names. There's a lot of people out there in those positions of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You may not like it, right? But my thing is, what he decides to do, with his wife, that's his personal business. Does it set the right tone for the organization? Do we have to answer questions that aren't about football? Yes. But that's not a fireable offense to me. It might be a divorce offense between him and his wife and between him and his family, but that's not, if I'm an employer, that's not a fireable offense. But the leash is getting a lot and a lot shrunk, right? It's shrinking quickly on Urban Meyer. That's how I feel about it.
I got five issues, and we only played four games, right? So it's like you can't be the distraction if you're the head coach. No matter what it is, we knew that this would be a distraction.
Well,
listen.
But Bart, are they getting better, Bart?
That's what I mean. Like for me, it's not even the fireable offense thing. It's more or less of the – you're kind of proving – almost on a weekly basis, like you were a great college coach, and here it's just you're a disaster.
College just doesn't come up.
It just might not be the best thing for you. And I think that's kind of what it's about, and we'll see how it plays out, of course. But you're right, Jay. Trevor Lawrence is a generational quarterback who was taken number one overall, and we never talk about the Jaguars unless, of course, it's Urban Meyer or it was Tim Tebow. And that, if I'm Shad Khan, that's the bigger issue that I have. Now, Jay, before we let you go, though, got to get a little NBA out of you today, and let's go with what Woj was just reporting this morning. DeAndre Ayton and the Suns are at an impasse. Well, what he believes is he's worth what all the other players in his draft class, and he was the number one pick. He should get the max like all those guys did with the upwards of $200 million that he could get with incentives. And the Suns and Robert Sarver are saying, nope, you're not worth that. You're a center. Is that the problem? Is it because he's a center, he can't be in that same bracket as the Luka Doncic's and the Trae Young's?
I think DeAndre Ayton had a colossal year. I think he brings a different type of versatility to your team defensively. I think offensively, the way he's utilized in their system has been really well. He did put up some astronomical numbers during the playoffs. But I can't have him in the same boat as Luka Doncic. I can't, or Trae Young. I don't know if I see that yet because, he needs other people around him. And everybody needs people around him. I just don't know if he has that dominant of a skill set that could be a standalone skill set without the likes of a Devin Booker or a Chris Paul. Right? Like, think about the amount of offense that Luka or Trae Young generate.
Yeah.
Right? Which warrants that pay clip. For DeAndre, I think he needs to have set up people like him to have those type of numbers, but he doesn't generate it on his own, like a versatile power forward could. I'm not saying that he deserves, exponentially less money. I just don't see him in that upper echelon tier like I would see the other two.
Right. I mean, you just have to go. You can stay in the same position. You can go with Jokic, right? Jokic generates so much more because of his ability to create for others. Like, Ayton doesn't really create for
Embiid,
others.
You could say Embiid, the same thing.
Right. He has to feed off each other, off other people. So, to your point,
Tannenbaum
talks about force multiplier all the time. He's not a multiplier. He's somebody that somebody else is multiplying.
You could argue the defense, the rebounding, and his ability to get at the rim and make it easier for guards is a big part of the multiplier as well. And if I'm his agent, that's what I'm saying.
But all the big guys do that and more, right?
And if not, are they in the finals without him?
But who? What category would you put him in, right? Let's just say, do you put him in the same category as Jokic or in Joel Embiid far as what he does?
No, but he's not due for that kind of money. He's not due for that.
Agree. But, Alan, then let me ask you this. If the NBA was fully healthy, are you picking the Suns to be back to the NBA Finals this year?
No, of course I'm not. Right. So
Are you picking them to be in the Western Conference Finals this year?
No, I don't have them as that either. So that's your point, and I completely get that part of it. I just think it's for him, but for the Suns too, they're in a tough spot because he is important. He's still important to them.
Is somebody else going to give him that money?
And they've got it. Well, they're going to play that game.
That's a contender.
You're right, and that's the game you're going to have to play.
We'll match it. If you can find that money, we'll match it.
My question is, how big of an impact will it have on this season because of that? That's another thing. If they're going to play that game where it's basically a game of chicken by the end of the season when he does become a free agent, restricted though, how does that play out and how does it impact the season this year? Does it create some animosity? Is he not the same player because of that distraction? All that stuff, of course, to keep an eye on as the NBA season begins. Jay, we'll leave it right there. Good to talk to you, my man. Thank you.
You too. Daniel Jones and Josh Allen.
Mm.
Okay, Bart.
Write it down.
Looking to the future.
Buy your jersey.
I don't know if I'm seeing it, but I'm looking.
You heard Smokey. Write it down. Take a picture. I don't give a
Yeah, I did have that. I can't play it though, but we do have it. Thanks,
I mean,
Jay.
I'm telling you, man.
Jay Williams on the Goodyear Hotline. No, you have been high on Daniel Jones. You have been. And you've been saying it all along. And he has played well. He has not been the reason why they're 1-3. He's not the reason.
What's the difference between Josh Allen and Daniel Jones? Location. That's all it is. It's where he is. It's not the skill set. Daniel Jones possesses and does some things that Josh Allen can't do.
Is Garrett maybe also part of this, the play calling? I know all the criticism of Garrett has been.
The organization, it's the same thing I say about Matthew Stafford. Like, I think if Daniel Jones was out there in San Diego, we'll look at him the same way. Like, he has a big arm. He can run. He just turns the ball over. But Herbert.
If Saquon starts to, you know, and it took him a couple games, which we knew it was going to. But if Saquon is starting to show us, as he did last week, that hint of, oh, there's that guy. That's a weapon.
That's special. Oh, that's man, special. We gotta do something with him. This dude's a problem.
Right.
Yes.
If he starts doing that, doesn't that make that offense a lot more lethal?
Yes.
Especially if Daniel Jones is coming into his own like it appears he is?
Because if Saquon Barkley is in that RPO, guess what the linebacker's doing? They going.
Yeah.
And guess what's open? All that real estate behind those linebackers.
Right. Exactly.
And if they don't, we know Daniel Jones will get ghost.
Mm-hmm. Because he's fast.
Peace.
Yeah.
Peace.
And he's fast.
He ain't juking nobody, but he's running by everybody.
Yeah, he's sneaky fast because he doesn't look fast.
21 miles an hour,
yes,
bro.
I remember, then he fell down. Spartan Han, we're coming to you
live. You would too. It wasn't him.
It was
his cleats.
My kneecaps would have exploded by the time I got to 21 miles an hour. Spartan Han, we're coming to you live from Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Let's get back to the calls, Bart Scott. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. As we were talking about Urban Meyer, Ben in Arizona wants to support the coach. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah. Being a human being,
hello.
Who's celebrating? Hello.
Hey, Ben. How are you?
Hello. How you guys doing?
We're great.
Hey, I want to talk to you guys, but you know what? I'm really disappointed on you guys talking about Myers. You know what? This is something that you guys are making a molehill, a mountain. Everybody's making it's like cancel culture, man. And
nobody,
you guys are better than that.
Hold on. First of all, nobody's calling for his job. What I'm saying is he's a distraction. Why did the owner
put out a statement? He
right. Answered. I didn't mention one thing. You guys have
lap dances before, right?
What?
Right?
Not like that.
What are you talking about? I mentioned five. I mentioned five things. What I'm saying is he doesn't look long for the job. He looks miserable. This is a man with a history that we can't ignore.
Yeah, that's
he's
what
been
we're
places
talking about.
And he's burnt out and he left. That's what we're talking about.
I'll take Urban Meyer. You can take whoever you want.
That's not what we're saying. We'll give you time to talk. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that we look like it's wearing on him. Like, usually if he was in college and he hired a strength coach, nobody would say anything. But in the NFL, you have to answer to people. And he had to answer to him. And he had to fire him. The whole Tebow thing, he had to answer to it. He lost practices because he was practicing too much. No college player is going to tell on their coach, hey, he's working as long as he's supposed to. But in the pros, dudes that are inside the leader, the people that's in charge of the union, like, no, you're not doing. No, you they Matt Stover used to be out there, Brian. You got 2 minutes, and we out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm talking about. He's not used to having to have checks and balances.
Right.
So I believe that this is what's going to wear him out.
Right.
So I'm not saying anything about what he did. What he did is just another thing.
It's just that's the thing, Ben. I want to make it clear. I mean that's what we're saying here. It's an incident. It certainly is. It's an embarrassing one that he had to apologize for, show remorse for, because somebody happened to have a camera. It was his own restaurant. Like, where's his security? Just making sure people aren't doing this to frame him in a certain way. But the point is, hang on, Ben. The point is that it's not about this one incident. It's the fact that there's just a lot of things that he has gone through since he took over this job that just make you wonder, along with the fact that he does look absolutely miserable, that is he kind of over his head? Is this really not for him? It is the NFL. It's not for everyone. And he looks like somebody that really is just making a lot of mistakes early on. And now it's to a point where an owner has to put out a statement about it. That's why it is newsworthy, because he is a huge name. It is an NFL franchise, and these are incidents that are not even have anything to do with his football team and its performance. That's why it's under discussion.
Well, you know what? I think like this way. I can't judge another man for what I would do. That's what I'm going to say personally.
Are you married, Ben?
No, I'm not married.
Oh, well, okay, so it's a lot easier for you to... All right, well, that's we're going to leave it right there, Ben, because it's a lot easier for you to say that you could be in a bar with somebody, a younger person comes up to you and starts flirting, and you start doing things like we saw in the video. You're not married. There's nothing wrong with it. But he's married.
Right.
And so that's just another part of it that people see and wonder, where is this guy right now? That's basically it. We'll continue with your calls. And meanwhile, on the Urban Meyer topic, he did apologize, but one of our favorite guests, person we love to have on the show, and of course, one of his biggest detractors, he is not buying the apology. Wait till you hear what is said next. But first, Bart will tell us about ZipRecruiter.
What if you could put the same type of rigor that the pro leagues use for players into hiring your hiring process? Well, you can. When you use ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter technology finds qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. And you can invite them, all your top choices, to apply for your job. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter gets a qualified candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Bart. That's ZipRecruiter.com, B-A-R-T. Back after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
I mean, between Ryan and Cam, is anybody older than 30 around here? And I'm thinking to myself, like, are there people really that are listening to the show that don't recall things like Hakeem Olajuwon winning back-to-back championships?
Yeah. Listening to the show? How about working on the show?
See? Like, do you even recall Michael Jordan?
I certainly don't remember him playing.
You ever see The Last Dance?
Bart and Han.
They want to try and pay.
It's just depressing. It's depressing. Really
they
is.
They don't pay both of us with that?
And then earlier in the
80s, baby.
Just barely. What are you talking about? 80s, baby, by a minute. That's what they do here, though. You just, you know, you make you feel old, and then they just hammer it home. They remind you of it as we were talking about it. We're playing 90s hip hop, which is
that.
It's not old school.
Hey, remind them that when they need a cosigner, don't call us. They need a recommendation. Young whippersnappers.
Yeah, we're going to get to that, too. Bob Arum's going to join us, by the way, at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Bart Scott's excited about that.
The rubber match, baby.
Fury Wilder 3. Yeah. And a lot of trash talk there. And we love talking to Bob, so he will be joining us at 2 o'clock as well. But Bart, it's Bart and Hunt, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting small business with specialized coverage for commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. I got one question for you.
What's that, Alan?
What time is it?
Audiophiles. Audiophile. The audiophile.
Well, we mentioned it in the previous segment. We had a caller who was very offended by the fact that, you know, we were making, I guess he said, a molehill out of a mountain or something like that.
Something.
However he put it. Not happy with the fact that Urban Meyer is in the headlines and it has nothing to do with the performance of his 0-4 football team, but just other things with him off the field, off, you know, away from the team that is a distraction. And one of it being that on the mini bye that he had, they played Thursday night, lost, although the team played well, lost. He was in Ohio at his own restaurant. And of course, social media going to get you. And he was just having some fun with some people that want to take a picture and a little too much grinding. Happening in what, by the way, to make it clear, was not a strip club. It was just a patron at his own restaurant. And so, yeah, he had to go to the podium and say he was sorry.
I just apologize to the team and staff and for being a distraction, just stupid. And so I explained everything that happened and owned it and, you know, just stupid. Should not have myself in that kind of position. Stayed to see the grandkids and we all went to dinner that night at restaurant, and then there's a big group next to our restaurant, and they wanted me to come over and take pictures, and I did. And they were trying to pull me out on a dance floor, screwing around, and I should have left. Apologized again for being a distraction. And a coach should not be a distraction.
Let me be clear. It's just another guy caught in the web of a world where everybody, there's eyes on you.
Everybody's a team.
Electric eyes. What did Michael Jackson say? Electric eyes are everywhere. And it's true. Today, more than any other time in our lifetime, it's no matter where you are,
somebody's always
watching. So the apology he did sound remorseful. I guarantee he's probably like, man,
I got to deal with this dumbness.
Right. Now I'm at my place. Somebody calls me over. I come over. I'm having a good time. And it's like I just make one stupid decision. And all it takes is one person with the camera. And now it just ruins everything. So do I empathize? I absolutely do. Because you just can hear it in his voice. Like, man, like another thing. So we want to buy in and say, yeah, he definitely feels bad. But you know who doesn't believe him? Paul Feinbaum.
This is who Urban Meyer is. Those of us who have followed him for many, many years have heard him with these lame, disingenuous apologies before. And nothing I'm about to say should surprise any of you because we've all had these conversations. But Urban Meyer is a liar and a fraud, and he has no business being in the National Football League. And the sooner that the ownership down there dismisses him, the better this franchise will be. This is not reactionary. This is just an accumulation of one misstep after another, going back many, many months to the strength and conditioning coach. Just follow the timeline. We've all been through it. We don't need to be emotional about it. We don't need to be outraged about it. This is who he is. And nothing has changed.
Now, Paul has been consistent, obviously, in his criticism of Urban going back years. So clearly, this is not something where he's going hot take on us all. A very strong take, certainly, from Paul Feinbaum on that. Meanwhile, talk about some strong language between coaches. We talked about this yesterday.
Ruby old man.
And you are a Raven, so you are all for what John Harbaugh did at the end of the game when they beat the Broncos. Yeah. Is they decided, you know what? We need, what was it, 3 yards?
Four.
Right? Four yards to get 100 yards rushing, which would continue their streak, which would tie a record with the Steelers from the 70s. Of 43 right straight games with 100 yards rushing. So they needed it. Instead of going victory formation, they get those yards, right? Well, as we know, Vic Fangio, the coach of the Broncos, who had spent time in the Ravens organization, he didn't like it, and John Harbaugh didn't care.
Did you have a problem with the last play that Baltimore ran? And
yeah, I thought it was kind of bull, but I expected it from them. You know, I've 37 years in pro ball. I've never seen anything like that, so... But it was to be expected, and we expected it.
Why did you expect it from them?
Because I just know how they operate. You know, they that's just their, you know, mode of operation there. Player safety is secondary.
I promise you, I'm not going to give that insult one second thought. That's what's meaningful to us might not be meaningful to them. Their concerns are definitely not our concerns.
Now, you talked about it yesterday.
Yeah, it makes sense.
What matters, but... Are you surprised that Fangio went that far?
Well, yeah, especially because he's been in that building. And like Harbaugh said, they exchanged pleasantries before the game. Now, listen, I've been in that organization. I'm still around that organization. And for him to say that's how they operate, like, first of all, Ravens have never
player
been.
Safety.
Right,
yeah.
Player safety. Well, how about this, Vic Fangio? What was player safety when you're trying to throw, you know, touchdown passes with like 20 seconds to go? Where's your player safety? Like Harbaugh said, he doesn't know or ever heard of a 16-point touchdown pass. So at that point, the game was over for you. So if you care about your player safety, why the hell are you still trying to score a touchdown, which makes our players have to defend the touchdown, which means that we have to tackle somebody, linemen have to hit. So don't listen. Miss me with all that sentimental crap talking about they don't care about player safety because you didn't care about your player safety because the game was over with 23 seconds. Why the hell are you still trying to score? Which means what? What happens when you score? You got to kick a field goal. Then what happens?
Kick the extra point.
The most dangerous play in all of football is the kickoff, especially when you talk about a onside kick. Mm-hmm. Because you have to line up and you have to go run and try and de-cleat people to knock the ball out. So what are you talking about, Vic Fangio? I call that a contradiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm
just take your ass kicking and go home.
How much of it do you think was just being frustrated that they were 3-0 and you looked at the teams they played and a lot of people were skeptical of the legitimacy of that 3-0 and in that game.
Listen, what I'm saying is how you have your facts right in your argument because you contradict yourself. You talk about player safety, and you're trying to score a touchdown. And if you score a touchdown, you still have no chance of winning the game. So what are we talking about?
It is, like I said, it's surprising to me because if you ever had, if you've had a connection to a franchise, you've worked there and you know.
He was a consultant. He didn't really work there. He was a consultant.
He was there.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the part that surprises me is that relationship thing. But I guess he's at that point where he didn't care. And he wasn't happy with it. And maybe he's trying to fire his team up too.
No, and I love, why? They're not in the same division. You won't see them again.
It's not that you'll see them again, but it's the idea that we were wrong. Let's lock back in. Like,
He did something petty, and they did something. It's like somebody swinging for whatever, still in the base when, or something stupid. You know, I don't know what baseball equivalent of it is, but it was petty. But listen, at the end of the day, Harbaugh said it, right? Your concerns isn't our concerns, and our concerns aren't your concerns. It was my concern to make sure that we can keep this streak going. Just like the Ravens have this other weird streak that I guarantee you, if it's close, they'll try and win it, right? And that's, they haven't lost a preseason game in, I believe, something like 4 years.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, right?
So they'll try and keep that going too, because they're little quirky things that are motivating factors for your team.
It's like I said, it was something that happened at the end where we have this thing called etiquette in sports where it's like you just don't do that. It's like, you know, in the NBA where you let the clock run out instead of shooting a three.
Yeah.
But what if you were 1-3 shy of a record?
Who was that they shot the lay? Oh, it was Lance Stevenson.
Yeah.
Remember he did, and they tried to bump him. I think it was Portland. They tried to get him in the fight.
Yeah, there's always that little thing. It was the triple-double, right? When it got, I forget who it was that needed like a rebound, so he at the, like,
missed it on purpose.
He missed it on purpose, got it, and then put in a layup, and it's like, really, dude? Like,
but so
there's
what?
Some etiquette things that you say, you don't do that because it cheapens the record, but, I mean, they earn the yards, and that's that. So, beef between two franchises that the only other time they're going to meet up again would be, of course, in the playoffs.
Right. So,
will we see that? Never know. So, that is Audio Files. It is brought to you by My Computer Career Training. For a better life. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's Bart and Hahn. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Bob Arum's going to join us in the top of the hour. We got some boxing to discuss. We have some baseball to discuss with you. The great rivalry between the Yankees and the Red Sox continue with another elimination game tonight, a game you can see on ESPN and hear it right here on ESPN Radio. So what's at stake? Who is the next Aaron Boone? The next Bucky Dent? Curt Schilling? Johnny Damon? Who's it going to be? Let us know. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
On ESPN Plus, Bart Scott, as we finish up week 4 in the NFL, we have one undefeated now left after last night's game as the Raiders lose. So the only team would be the Arizona Cardinals that remain undefeated. And I think, though, as we get 4 now weeks into a 17-week season, we start to get somewhat of a picture of maybe who the true contenders are.
Not quite.
Would you, well, I'm going to say, play along and say, yeah, we can.
We got one side of the corners.
All right. Well, can I give you 10 contenders? You can tell me if you agree with all 10. Okay.
Cool.
So the Bills, clearly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Browns, okay. Ravens, Chiefs, clearly. Chargers, for sure, when you saw them. Cowboys have had a great start. Packers with Aaron Rodgers. Bucks remain in there because of everybody that they have and if they get healthy, which you expect. The Rams, a very good team despite the loss. And then, as we mentioned, the undefeated Cardinals. There's your 10. Now, I'm looking at it with that 10. Is this a reality check out of the 10? Can we eliminate three teams just based on the fact that their franchises are those that you're like, nah, not going to win a Super Bowl? You know what I mean?
Well, are you going to do that to the Cardinals? Because they start off fast all the time and they usually flame out.
There's a lot about the Cardinals and what they're doing. It is fun to watch. It is entertaining. It's Cliff Kingsbury, who's now Ted Lasso, apparently. You know, it's Kyler Murray, who's playing like an MVP and looks unstoppable. Their defense got better and is a lot better. They can actually stop the run this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes. But it's the Cardinals organization, and it's just – you're like, can you see them winning a Super Bowl?
Well, that used to be the Saints, right? The Saints used to be that way. People used to look at the Saints the same way. Tampa Bay used to look like that, and they've done it twice,
mm-hmm.
right? They did it when they won with Warren Sapp in 2000. You know, that was a team. They're like, oh, man, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won, the Creamsicles.
Mm-hmm.
And then they became a joke again all the way to the point where they got Jameis Winston, and everybody's like, oh, they just –
Well, Jason Light came in there and changed it, you know, turned it around.
Right.
That was
important. And then Tom Brady. So they won again. So they won two titles in 20 years. So, like, it happens.
But they're not the only team on the list. The other team would be the Browns, Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
That's another franchise where you're like, I just don't see it. Right? Like, aren't they just, if you see it, it'll be amazing. It's like saying the Chicago Cubs are going to win the World Series. Yeah. You're like, nah, they're not. They're just not. Yeah. There'll be something will happen.
Good this year. Like,
Bartman will happen. Like, there's always something, right? Like, you did that with the Cubs until they actually did it. And we even still were like, did that really happen?
Well, take that out of the Cowboys then, too.
That was my next team. Okay. Dallas Cowboys. It just feels like something always happens. So out of that, the 10 teams I gave, I took three out, not based on anything other than just feel.
Yeah.
Like if I told you just emotionally 4 weeks in, if there's three teams to take out of that 10, what three would it be? I think those are the three.
Yeah.
Because that whole idea that the Browns just have that history of something going wrong, that the Cowboys just
I think the Titans are going to be right there at the end. I think once Julio and them comes back, I think they're going to be right there because when the weather gets cold and guys start being banged up and they're not fresh anymore, King Henry's still leaning on you, bro.
Think about this also. What is another team I didn't mention that you could argue? The Bills. I mean, they went to four straight Super Bowls and didn't win one, right? And then they haven't been back since in all that time. And then they get back. But I could actually, this group, with that leadership, the hierarchy they have there, yeah, I can actually see them winning a Super Bowl. And can you imagine that? You talk about an improbable. You talk about a franchise that you wouldn't expect. That should be on the list. But everything I've seen this season, based off of what they did last year, I do actually believe in them more than I would the Browns or the Cowboys or even the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, they look like one of the best teams. They look like one of the best three teams that we're not kind of talking about. I understand that they lost to the Steelers, but no, I go with them.
Yeah. So, all right, what's on your list of top 10 teams to win the Super Bowl? More coming up. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.